Well, friends, that went by awfully fast now, didn't it? Can you believe that it is the last day, indeed the last hours now of 2023 already? That's just really pretty amazing. Crazy. What the heck happened? How did the time go by so fast? And why the heck do we focus on the Holy Family on the cusp of each new calendar year? It's not always on New Year's Eve, but it's always in between Christmas and January 1st. Is this really the best the church can come up with? You know, isn't the Holy Spirit maybe a little, or the Holy Family, maybe a little boring? Well, today's world may well claim that the Holy Family is kind of lame, uninspiring, even forgettable or unacceptable to some. Too traditional, right? The nuclear family with the father at the head. Not enough me. There's a lot of focus on me nowadays, not so much on us, right? Broadly in today's culture. Not enough bling in the Holy Family. There's no bling, as a matter of fact. The Holy Family is, they live in poverty. They don't have a lot of shiny stuff. They don't even want a lot of shiny, flashy stuff. So with worldly eyes, we may think, the Holy Family, I don't know about that. But in reality, that is just nonsense. It's pure hogwash, right? The Holy Family is the family of all families, the ultimate family, the very template of wholesome, flourishing family life. The church has always taught that the family is the building, the very building block, the foundation of society. And the Holy Family, again, is the ultimate example of how to live it out well. Anything but lame, uninspiring, boring. What is it, though, that is so special about the Holy Family then? Not anything flashy, obviously. We've already established that. Well, silence. The Holy Family lives in silence. We have whole decades of silence, right? In between, we have once Jesus comes back from, they come back from Egypt, and they settle down in Nazareth. And then there's that one episode when Jesus is 12. But other than that, from the time he's probably a couple years old all the way till 30, complete silence. Complete silence. So there's certainly silence. There's simplicity too. The Holy Family's not flashy. They're focused on the Lord. They live a good, simple life because they get everything they need from the Lord. They don't need a bunch of creature comforts. So they live in great simplicity, trusting in the Lord, obedient to the Lord, deep faith in the Lord. That's the foundation of the Holy Family. We know that, Jesus is purified, or Mary's purified rather, in the temple. We'll talk more about that here in a minute. But then they go on, the Herod wants to kill Jesus, and so they flee to Egypt. They end up coming back. And so there's a number of ups and downs. They don't know what's right and left. They're being uprooted. There's dangers. But they're trusting in the Lord through it all. Even if you go back to the Annunciation of Mary becoming pregnant, Joseph doesn't know what's going on, but they trust in the Lord. Work is another hallmark of the Holy Family. A good honest day's work, right? Working by the sweat of your brow, and also perseverance. Not only just in work, but in faith in all things in life. These are some of the key characteristics of the Holy Family, allowing them to weather many storms, all storms, as a matter of fact, putting it all in God's hands, not trying to do things themselves. But this doesn't lead to drudgery or misery. Again, if we put on our worldly eyes and ears, we might think, oh boy, that sounds terrible, right? We want to keep up with the Kardashians or something. But no, that's the Holy Family could care less about that. And they're living the fullness of life. So it's not drudgery or misery. No. This leads to the joy and peace beyond all understanding, the glorious freedom of the children of God, brothers and sisters. That's what it leads to. Now, to be sure, to be perfectly honest and upfront, there are many ways in which this family, we're talking about the nuclear family as revealed by God in the Bible, this structure can be and certainly has been distorted and exploited through the brokenness of humanity. But that is the very reason why God needs to be the absolute center. the very reason why he needs to be the center of all aspects of family life. Because those examples of exploitation, God's not in the middle. He's not in the center, right? It doesn't happen if God's in the center. So once God is the center, only then are the family members able to weather the ups and the downs that inevitably come about in family life without destroying each other and the family unit as well. Just take a quick look around at our increasingly secular, unchristian society, if you don't believe me. If you don't believe me that this is going on out there. Definitely going on in spades, kind of the destruction of the nuclear family. Right? Some people are explicitly talking that way. But this isn't a homily about gloom and doom, brothers and sisters, not at all. At the same time, take a look at the objective truth of what happens when God is in the middle, as we see in all of today's readings, all four of them, including the responsorial. We won't touch on all of them, but let's start with the gospel here. And here we find the Holy Family themselves. They're tested a bit when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus up to the temple to fulfill the prescriptions of the law for the firstborn son. They're called to do this. And so, but they wait 40 days. Mary had to wait 40 days to be purified after giving a child to be able to go up into the temple. So they do, and on they go from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem, to the temple there. They probably didn't expect to encounter all of the drama and excitement that they found there, though, right? I bet they weren't expecting that. And especially with Simeon. It's a wonderful episode with Simeon. He comes and snatches Jesus away out of their hands, and they must have been thinking, what is this? You know, Joseph might have been ready to go to fisticuffs or something. We don't know exactly what happened, but he comes and snatches them away, and these amazing words. How amazing that really must have been. You know, Simeon saying, now I can die. I've seen the Lord. Wow. And then he says, oh yeah, and this child is going to be a sign of contradiction for the fall and rise of many. Fall and rise. That reminds us of something, right? Reminds us of the Paschal mystery, dying to ourselves, rising to new life in Christ. It says the fall first and then the rise. It reminds us of baptism too. This child is going to be a sign of contradiction, going to be responsible for the fall and rise of many throughout Israel, so that the thoughts of hearts may be revealed. And then he says to Mary as well, and your heart's going to be pierced. So you're going to partake in this as well. And so it's a beautiful, joy-filled, amazing encounter, but at the same time, they begin to hear some troubling things about Jesus and Mary that probably weren't on their radar. And yet, amidst all of this, they take it in stride. They take it in stride, and God, of course, provides. God the Father. As we heard, Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, as we can see, this young family is properly structured and focused to last the test of time. Built to last, just how God made it to be, right? All families. And Paul teaches about this as well. We're going to start with the last part of that second reading, which makes us a little uncomfortable, but rest assured, I'll elaborate on this a little bit. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. As is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything. Fathers, do not provoke your children. So wives, be subordinate to your husbands. I know that people want to cover their ears. They're like, oh, what is this? But as is proper in the Lord. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as you're subordinate to Christ. This does not mean wives become a doormat to your husband, right? And then the very next words, husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. That doesn't mean husbands subject your wives, subjugate them so that they do everything you say. No, that's ridiculous. If we just think about it for a minute, and then if we read more of the Bible, we understand that nothing is farther than the truth. I just had a wedding yesterday, and the newlyweds are here with us tonight, and they chose Ephesians 5, which is an expanded version of this. It says, wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord, similar verbiage to that. But then it also says, husbands, you got to love your wives as Jesus loved the church. So what does that mean, husbands, right there? Total self-emptying love. You have to literally be willing to lay it down for your wives. And it's the same thing for the wives too. Paul says, be subordinate to one another. That's what he, as is proper in the Lord, so that you're glorifying the Lord, seeking to do His will. And you have total self-emptying love towards one another. That's what we're talking about. I should have written it down. In the Spanish, it really comes across in a way I think that is much more intuitive. But the translation in the English, I think, maybe is a little bit unfortunate. But it has nothing to do with making a doormat out of one or the other. Paul also says, children, obey your parents in everything. Now the children want to cover their ears, right? They're like, no, I don't want to do that. But this is all this mutual subordination to one another in the Lord. That's how we're meant to live, brothers and sisters. Nourishing, strengthening one another. And this happens in the Holy Family as well. Notice that God, He comes and speaks to Joseph as head of the family, right? He doesn't come to Mary. He doesn't come to Jesus when it's time to flee to Egypt or when it's time to come back. He comes to Joseph, who's the only sinner in the Holy Family, by the way. So he's definitely lowest. Jesus is God Himself. Mary's perfect. And Joseph is not. And that's who God chooses to come to. Joseph is the head of the family. And Mary follows Him, right? She's a subordinate to Him in that way. But Mary's not a doormat. It's not like Joseph is greater than her. They're equals in this marriage. But Joseph is the head. And Mary, of course, is the mother. She has her own authority within the family. And Jesus is subordinate to both of them, right? And He's God. But He obeys them. So that's the way the family is meant to work. And that's what Paul is getting at here, trying to help us to better understand it. Paul continues now. Well, actually, this is before that last piece. So this is at the beginning of the passage. Put on, as God's chosen ones, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you. Now, I think the Holy Family lives this out to the T, right? Compassion, gentleness, kindness. They didn't always get along and everything, right? I'm sure they have different opinions. I'm sure in different ways to do things. They had to talk to each other. They had to compromise. I'm sure they did. They were probably better at it than most of us, given the level of holiness there. But I'm sure they had to bear with one another in patience, forgive one another occasionally. That's how we're meant to live. Not seeking to get, I want to get as much as I can from my husband or my wife, my kids, and whoever else. Extract as much as. No, that's a worldly conception. Emptying ourselves out for our brothers and sisters. Paul continues, above all, put on love, the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ control your hearts. And be thankful. And let the word of God dwell in you richly. Any of you that have been to confession a couple of times here have probably received that as penance from me. It's one of my favorite passages. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Not the chaos, not the craziness, not the shiny objects of the world. The peace of Christ control your hearts. And be thankful. That's the key, brothers and sisters. The more thankful we are to the Lord for what He's given us, the more we realize what He's given us, the more we're blown away by His goodness and His generosity, the less we care about all these other machinations that are going on and driving us away from Him. We got to deal with them, but we deal with them in and through Him when He's the center. So yes, let the peace of Christ control your heart. Be thankful. That's how the peace of Christ is going to control your heart. And then the Word of God will dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, Paul continues, teach and admonish each other. Teach and admonish each other. We're meant to nourish each other, to guide each other, right? It's supposed to be, this is that mutual subordination. Teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude to God. We're always meant to praise Him and to live in that praise, in that thanksgiving, right? That's the key to a beautiful Christian life. I just want to layer in something. There were some optional readings for tonight that we didn't use, but there were a possibility. And they have to do with Abraham and Sarah. And they certainly lived with great trust and obedience and faith to God. He sends them out to live. They live in what we call Iraq. Now, it's called Ur in the Bible, but it's Iraq, Babylon, it's also called. And God just says, hey, let's go. I'm going to take you somewhere. They have no idea where it is. And they go. They leave this life of comfort and everything behind. No idea where he's going to lead them. They're the wandering Aramaeans that you hear about. And they go. And they're older. But God says, don't worry. I'm going to give you kids. They're going to be as numerous as the sands on the sea. They wander around for 25 years. Abraham's 100 years old. God still says, I'm going to give you children. Abraham's probably thinking, okay. But God credited to him his righteousness because he did believe. He kept following the Lord. And here we are, spiritual descendants of Abraham to this very day because of his trust, his obedience. And he and Sarah were broken sinners just like us. But they had that trust. They followed the Lord. They kept picking themselves back up when they fell and following him. Beautiful example. So this, friends, this I'm referring to the nuclear family, as revealed to us by the Lord. This is the formula that has worked extremely well for millennia and has fundamentally changed the world for the better. There are many concerns going into 2024 now, no doubt about it. And it may well be an unprecedented year in the U.S. There may be some strife. You know, I'm thinking about elections and just look at the demonstrations and things that are going on now. It could get a lot worse. Maybe not. We don't know what's going to happen. But it potentially could. Regardless, though, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and on the Holy Family so the peace of Christ can control our hearts, right? Stay focused on the Lord. Let us put all of our faith and trust in God amidst the struggles and joys, whatever 2024 is going to bring. Just like Abraham. We don't really know where we're going. We don't know what it looks like out there, 2024. But let's follow the Lord. That's what matters the most. Follow him and focus on living family life well. This is the way, brothers and sisters, that we will change the world for the better. That's it. That's how God laid it out. We're not going to do it by worrying about world events or people out there in the world that we don't have much influence over anyway, at least directly. Why get all stressed out about that? About the Pope, about the President, about this person, that person? We can pray for them, but we're probably not going to move the needle, right? So why get all freaked out about it? We're not going to change the world by obsessing over the news and over social media. Nope. It's going to drive us nuts into anxiety and fears and we're going to change the world by obsessing over God, over his infinite love and mercy for each of us, and also for the people that he's given us, our family members, our close friends. Focus on all that he is offering you right now and at every moment, instead of all the noise, the chaos, the craziness. That's always going to be out there. Focus not on yourself, no, but on the Lord and how he's trying to love you into the saint that he created you to be. If you just let him, right? If you just let him. And if you get that right, then you will be a star shining brightly for all to see, a sign of hope and joy in a world that has largely forgotten both. Cast them aside. We need a whole lot more silence, simplicity, prayer, faith and trust in our families and in our communities. No doubt about it. That, friends, is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And so let us conclude with this wonderful quote from St. Paul as he encourages us to do this. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.